This is Earth on the Air, an environmental news radio program with Janice Kane. In this week's environmental top news headlines, an oil tanker ran aground Friday and spilled an estimated 6 million gallons of raw crude oil into Alaska's Prince William Sound, which is 150 miles east of Anchorage, Alaska. The estimated amount is 24 times the quantity spilled outside Grays Harbor on December 23rd. At the Grays Harbor spill, searchers found over 7,000 dead and dying seabirds, and the total effect upon wildlife is incalculable. A federal judge in Seattle has spared nearly 19,000 acres of old-growth forests in Washington and Oregon from logging for at least 3 months. A hearing on June 13th will decide whether the Forest Service violated the law in setting aside the forest as habitat for spotted owls. Boeing spokesman Bob Jorgensen says if the environmental impact review process results in too many delays, the company may have to review plans to build a $20 million plant west of Spokane. A coalition of environmental groups is calling for a study of possible pollution problems. A bill that would severely limit the power of the Puget Sound Water Quality Authority is moving successfully through the state legislature. If the bill is passed, the authority would only have an advisory role on matters like development around creeks and wetlands. The bill has support from Boeing and other groups interested in development, as opposed to preservation. Evidence of global warming is leading some members of Congress to propose immediate action, while others warn of a stampede in passing legislation. One witness tells a Senate panel a 20% reduction in fossil fuel use is feasible. On behalf of the Marine Sanctuary Rally on April 7th, commentator Andrew Ward of National Public Radio's All Things Considered provided us with the following first-hand account of last December's Grays Harbor spill.
On December 23, 1988, a tugboat rammed its own barge somewhere off Grays Harbor on the central coast of Washington and dumped 231,000 gallons of bunker oil into the tide. A week later, a wind kicked up and drove the goo northward, and eventually the spill stretched from Astoria, Oregon, 800 miles up to the Queen Charlotte Islands. A normal oil spill, and we live in a time when there's such a thing as a normal oil spill, may claim 300 to 400 birds. The Grays Harbor spill eventually killed at least 8,524 murres, grebes, scoters, loons, canvasbacks, old squaws, auklets, puffins, the bobbing birds of the Pacific surf who gather in these waters for the winter. Of the 3,058 live birds that were brought into the Ocean Shores Bird Rescue Center, 1,900 either died from shock or languished so miserably that they had to be euthanized. The dead birds had to be removed from the beaches to prevent the gulls and bald eagles from poisoning themselves on their oily carcasses. So gathering the dead became as urgent a business as rescuing the live birds stranded along the coastline. The Olympic Coast's inaccessibility has helped to keep it as pristine as any in the contiguous United States. But for the same reason, it's a treacherous place to clean. Crews remove tens of thousands of pounds of oil-soaked sand from the beaches of the Olympic National Park, but 3 months later, oil still besmears some of the remotest northern beaches. The majority of the survivors were murres. In the wild, the murre is a vigorous fisher bird, as regal and comical in its elegance as a penguin, which it resembles, with a black back and wings and a buxom, snowy breast. But you wouldn't have known it to look at the murres people were catching on the beaches and bringing to the center, in bags and nets and cardboard boxes. You'd have thought they were naturally torpid and the color of railroad ties. Some of the birds were so contaminated that they had to wear bibs to keep from ingesting oil when they groomed themselves. And so, in bibs, they padded forlornly over beds of newspaper and rag, in the jerry-rigged plywood pens that covered the half-acre of floor at the Bird Rescue Center. State and federal environmental officials ran the operation, But it was staffed almost entirely by volunteers, students, retirees, birders, bikers, homemakers. Their main order of business was getting the birds clean so they could replenish the natural oil in their feathers and return to the wild. The people who came to minister to the birds found it could be an anguished communion. It was no small thing to hold a wild seabird, and people who cleaned the birds became imprinted on them. Just as they exulted when the bathed birds were finally released into the holding tanks outside, they sobbed and grieved when a murre died of shock in their arms. The birds were not grateful to our species for their circumstance and did not welcome our ministrations. They quite naturally assumed that each time we scooped them up, we were going to eat them. And so they did their best to slash and snatch at us with their strong, sharp beaks. The sickest birds lay apart from the huddled groups with their oily wings outstretched. Some grasped feebly at the fish that was offered and then shook their heads as if politely declining. There's probably no underestimating the intelligence of these birds, but it doesn't do to patronize them. Their simplicity is surely more benign than the stupidity, say, of an oil company or a tugboat captain or the rest of our heedless species. Some suspect that it may not have been the initial spill that got to the oily birds that began to wash ashore as far east as Port Angeles, but the crews of other boats and barges that had seized this opportunity to dump their waste into the water. I worked as a fish feeder for a couple of days, and before I drove home, I walked past the retaining tanks where a pair of burly loons were paddling after their baths, and I headed out toward the beach for a stroll. I've always found beach walks restorative, but it seems that oil spills taint not only the ocean, but our perception of it, so that even its natural sheen and luminescence become suspect. I found myself second-guessing the reflection of the gunmetal clouds and peering suspiciously at the brown sand churning in the surf. There were a few gulls and crows huddled high up the dunes, and a couple of sanderlings trotted back and forth with the tide. But nowhere in or beyond the surf that rose almost a half a mile offshore could I spot a single bird or hear a single call on the cold ocean wind. I am a newcomer to Washington and a latecomer to the cause of the wilderness. But those of us who tended to the stranded victims of the Gray's Harbor spill promised ourselves that if we could do something to prevent such tragedies along the Olympic coast, we would do it. Now we finally have a chance. The National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration is currently reviewing a proposed Outer Washington Coast Marine Sanctuary. At 7 p.m. on Friday, April 7th at the Mountaineers Club at 300 3rd Avenue West, there will be a rally to urge the establishment of a marine sanctuary off the Olympic coast and the banning of oil drilling within its waters. Please join me and the thousands of others who are uniting to defend our last remaining coastal wilderness. For more information, call 284-6310.
Andrew Ward, commentator from NPR's All Things Considered. In environmental events, there is a region-wide organization currently in formation, the Northwest Tree People, who urgently need volunteers interested in positive action in response to the problem of global warming. Some of their projects will include forestry training programs and environmental education programs for kindergarten through the 12th grades. If you're interested in this organization, their phone number is 456-8083. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, will be holding public scoping meetings to gather information and comments on the designation of the Western Washington Outer Coast National Marine Sanctuary. There are four scoping meetings which will be held during the week of April 10th through the 13th. If you are interested in attending any one of the four public scoping meetings, there will be one here in Seattle on April 13th at 7 o'clock p.m. It'll be held at the NOAA Administration Auditorium Building No. 9, which is located on Sandpoint Way Northeast. For further information on the designation of Washington's Outer Coast as a National Marine Sanctuary, please call 284 6310. And attend the rally April 7th, 7 o'clock p.m. at the Mountaineers Club, 303rd Avenue West, here in Seattle. This week's program was written by Andrew Ward. News and events provided by Tom Baer and Janice Kane. And produced by Jean-Paul Bardou. Earth on the Air is produced by volunteers who are concerned about the environment. If you have questions, suggestions, concerns, or would like to volunteer, please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Earth on the Air in care of KCMU, Seattle, Washington, 98195.